Hey, welcome to another Sports Look here on Care Radio. It is great to have you along with us. We always appreciate our Sports Look sponsors like Hamada Wealth Management and Gerber Electric, Taco John's, and Exchange Bank. Gus, we've got a crazy hectic sports schedule coming up, and tomorrow night we're going to have not the game we'd originally scheduled to have on Friday night, but instead we're going to have a different game, but it should be a great one. Is ACCHS is going to be down in Easton, and they'll be playing Pleasant Ridge. So we're going to have the Tigers and the Rams tomorrow night. Saturday afternoon, the Benedictine Ravens lace them up again, and they're going to be in Des Moines at Grandview. Ladies game at 2 o'clock tip-off, 4 o'clock for the guys. Of course, you'll hear them here on Care Radio. Next week, we've got a hectic schedule with the basketball tournaments going on around the area, and we're going to be covering games in a lot of places. And let's see, next week on Monday, we're going to be at the McLouth tournament, where it will be Morehill Mount Academy boys and girls playing. The girls are going to be playing Cara Paravel. The boys are going to be playing Veritas Christian. We'll have those games on Care Radio on Monday. On Tuesday, we're going to go to the Oskaloosa tournament. And down at Oskaloosa, we will have a 6 o'clock game between the Valley Falls and ACCHS guys, and then an 8 o'clock game with JCN and Perry LeCompton. That should be a peach. And then we're off to next week, where next Thursday night is kind of unusual. Not only will it be Sports Look, but we will have Benedictine basketball. They're not playing next Wednesday. They're playing next Thursday. And that's going to be a home game back up in the Nolan with Culver Stockton. So lots of games going on. And we are so glad to be bringing them to you. High school basketball is in full swing. We talked about the tournaments coming up next week. But, Gus, before the tournaments, there have been a lot of really good, really interesting games going on around the area.
Yeah, you know, you take a look at some of the games that happened earlier this week. Starting on the ladies' side, you had Jackson Heights over ACCHS, 47-28. It was Horton, a 38-29 winner over Oskaloosa. You had McLouth over Valley Falls. Pleasant Ridge knocked off Morehill Mount Academy earlier this week on the ladies' side. In boys' basketball, the ACCHS guys knocked off Jackson Heights. It was Horton knocking off Oskaloosa. You had Valley Falls in a big way over McLouth, and it was Pleasant Ridge over Morehill Mount Academy. The Atchison Phoenix guys knocked off Schlegel, 64-59 in their contest. So, you know, a handful of interesting games going on earlier on in the week, and, you know, you talked about just moments ago that we're starting to move our way towards kind of that two-thirds pull.
Yeah, I mean, we are moving briskly along, and according to my schedule, we've even got JCN. Are they playing tonight up at Troy? I mean, it looks like it's on a Thursday night schedule. I want to verify that, but Jefferson County North at Troy. You've also got wrestling. We need to give a tip of the hat to the wrestling teams going on around the area. Morehill Mount Academy is going to be at home, and they're going to be hosting McLouth and Oskaloosa and Donovan West and Horton and Nemaha Central, the big MHMI Invitational coming here. If you like wrestling, you might just pop up there. That, I would think, would be the place to be.
Yeah, you get to see a lot of the local products in action. ACCHS, though, is going to be at Olathe Northwest tonight, so jumping up. And the ACCHS wrestling schedule has been quite interesting this year, right? Like, I mean, they went out west and took on, Oakley and Hoxie, I feel like, and now jumping up and taking a 6A tournament. I mean, again, it's that whole, you know, you feel like you're setting yourself up to just see how you're going to stack up when you get towards, you know, state tournament.
So what you're saying is you believe in the old axiom, if you're going to be the best, you got to beat the best?
So obviously, maybe the route they are looking to take right there.
So there you have it. Lots of wrestling going on around the area. And then, of course, Friday night, we mentioned the Care Radio broadcast schedule, but there are other games going on all over the place. We will be at Pleasant Ridge with ACCHS. Other games in the NEKL involve Horton at Jackson Heights, Jefferson County North at Oskaloosa. And the Big 7, you're going to have Sabetha at Perry LeCompton, Nemaha Central at Jeff West, Riverside at Holton, Royal Valley entertaining Hiawatha. And just to reach out a little bit, because we've seen some of these teams, Maryville, they're going to be at Wamego. And boys basketball, it will be Sumner at Atchison tomorrow night for a 7:30 game. And you flip that, of course, the Atchison Phoenix women's team, the girls are going to be at Sumner. And that's a 7 o'clock ball game down in KC.
Taking a look at some of the basketball standings in the Northeast Kansas League on the ladies' side, Jackson Heights, with that win over ACCHS, continues to be perfect on the season. 8-0 overall, 7-0 in the league. The Lady Tigers fall to 7-2. They are now 7-1 in the NEK. You go down to Horton at 4-3 in league play. Valley Falls at 3-4. JCN Girls right now at 3-4 in the league. Pleasant Ridge is 3-5. McLeod is 3-5. Moore Hill Mount Academy, 3-5. And you got Oskaloosa ladies looking for their first win of the season. So, you know, you've got your upper two, and then you kind of have a logjam right there in the middle, right? Between 4-3 all the way down to 3-5 is the difference between third and, what, eighth?
Yeah. You know, it's not really that different on the guys' side either. You got Valley Falls. They are doing a tremendous job there. At 9-0 on the season, they're 8-0 in the conference. They have been extremely impressive, and Gus, they're not doing it so much with size. I'd say they're doing it with speed and execution. They have been, you know, they're very impressive to watch, and they're on top of the conference, undefeated. Right behind them, with a single loss, and it was two Valley Falls, is Jefferson County North. Pleasant Ridge is at 6-2. Moore Hill Mount Academy right in the hunt at 5-3, and then you get to the 500 team, Atchison County at 4-4. Then it'll drop to two wins apiece for Horton and Jackson Heights, Oskie with a win and McLeod without one.
So, yeah, I mean, we're starting to get into, you know, that middle of January, starting to see how these leagues are shaping up, and I'm telling you, it'll only be a few more weeks, and we'll start gazing into the crystal ball that is sub-state basketball.
Yeah, and I'm looking at this conference, and I'd say one thing that I kind of noticed, and kind of check me on this, it seems like, you know, I felt like, at least in the olden days, you'd have a school and everybody's good. You know, the boys and girls would both be really good, the boys and girls would both be maybe not quite so good. It's, I feel like, in many instances this year, you've got one or the other team that's really good, and maybe the other one is, you know, is down a notch. You've got Valley Falls guys at 8-0. The girls are pretty good, but you know they are not at the top. JCN guys really good. The girls battling in the middle of the pack, and you know the ACCHS guys kind of in the middle, but Lady Tigers are leading the way.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think you kind of hit on that. We're gonna actually. You kind of took a step ahead of me. In segment three, when we start looking at the Heart of America Athletic Conference, because segment two, we'll talk about the ladies. Segment three, we'll talk about the men. You see the same correlation going on there, right? I mean, this year, it's not a, oh, man, you go to the gym, you're going to see the number one boys and girls team, right? You're not seeing that as much this year, and it's, you know, it's kind of fun to see these teams have a little more parity, I guess, if you will. So, you know, a lot of interesting things going on. A lot of these league competitions really starting to heat up. And, you know, as we start to enter, what is tournament time?
Yeah, no question about it. And so right now, all I can tell you is go to the MSC Sports website. Keep an eye on the schedule because, you know, these things are still fluid. We're still finding teams changing, and we've scrambled just a little bit, but we've got our dates all filled up. And make sure you know where your team is at and when they're playing, and also know that there are games going on around the area. We're going to have somebody here on Care Radio that night. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back. We've got college hoops and more. Fort Look continues right after this. Welcome back here to Sports Look on Care Radio on a Thursday evening. Great to have you along. Gus, last night we traveled down to Baldwin City, Kansas, as Benedictine was at Baker. You expected great games. You got great games. Maybe didn't get, you know, the play that you would have liked to have, but they were competitive contests. And sometimes when you have teams that are so, you know, involved in such emotionally charged games. I don't know. It feels like maybe the shots don't fall. You maybe just don't play as well when you're cranked up that much. And the Lady Ravens struggled to score, but were still able to pull out a road win.
Yeah, you look up and down the conference last night on the ladies' side, and Benedict and Baker was the best game in the conference, right? Benedictine hits a shot with, what? You were under a minute. You had to be somewhere around the 16, 18 seconds to go hit that big three, and it kind of sent the points off. Because there, as you were going down the stretch in the fourth quarter, you just felt overtime, right? I mean, it just felt like every shot was answered. Nobody was taking a two-possession lead down the stretch. And then all of a sudden, the off-balance three-point shot that falls through.
Yeah, and that was going off. It was not even supposed to be shot. I talked to Coach about it after the game. It was a desperation shot. When you look up and Nicholson sees that there's two on the shot clock and there's no way to get that ball to someone and let them shoot. And did you like the Drew Huppy ref?
Oh, yeah. Okay, so when you made the reference and you said a shot, I had two players, right? Two players hit my mind.
John White
and Drew Huppy, right?
Because
the other
that's
one
why
was,
I went back to clear it
right,
up later.
Because that's all I kept saying. I kept going, all right, is he thinking Huppy? Is he thinking John White? Because, you know, both of them were excellent shots. One was just a lot further, okay? But, yeah, I mean, that same end of the court and things like that. So, but, you know, Lady Ravens got a nice bounce back game, right? And they needed that after the stunning loss, I guess, is probably the best way to say it. And I think if you ask Coach Folsom in his heart of hearts, he's going to tell you that, you know, every team is good and every team is, you know, somebody you got to be prepared for. But in his heart of hearts, I don't think they saw that game at Graceland going that way. And every once in a while, that's kind of the crazy thing about basketball is, you know, maybe more so than any other sport, it just takes one hot night and that team's going to roll, right? I mean, you could
just
get
one hot player, maybe.
Yeah. So, I mean, how many times, though, have we seen that? We've seen a team that, you know, maybe shouldn't have won, and they win because, you know, they get hot at the right time. Graceland is a perfect example. I'll tell you, that's what they did when they won the national title, right? I mean, that was kind of the nice thing about having everything in a few days, right? Where the new format spreads everything out to, you know, play games here, and then you move to the big site. The problem was, like, when you had everything in 5 days, if you had a hot run, all of a sudden, next thing you know, like, teams couldn't adjust, and you were through, and it was over, and you won. Right?
Yeah, and for Benedictine, the fact that they won, the fact that it was on the road, the fact that they didn't shoot very well. I'm not saying they didn't play well, because I thought they did, but they did not shoot well, and you got people who you're used to seeing score. We mentioned Kennedy Nicholson, who hit that clutch three, but she was one of six. You've got Twyla, she came in two of six. You got Aaliyah, a great scorer, one of 10. You've got Skylar, who can score 30 on any given night, two of 13 shooting. And Natalie, your five, who you expect to hit 60, 70%, she led your team in scoring, had 17 points, but it was because she's 7 of 8 at the free throw line. She was 5 of 11 shooting. Benedictine's shooting percentage, 24% on the night, and yet they were somehow able to pull out a win in that game.
Ever since that building was, you know, built down there in Baldwin, does it feel like the Rams are tighter at that facility? Because, I mean, like, I don't care what team it is. I feel like nobody shoots well at
and
that.
It's not like it's one of those big gymnasiums that have spacious ends and that,
yeah,
that goal is
got a nice backdrop and
great
everything.
Backdrop on both
and
sides.
It's just weird. It feels like things happen like that at Baker all the time. But, you know, when you pull it apart, a win is a win, and especially a road win, because, I mean, coaches will tell you that, you know, you've got to win all your home games, and then you've got to hit a handful of those road games. And, I mean, the Lady Ravens were into the fourth quarter before they had a second player that hit multiple field goals, right? I mean, it was just that kind of a night. But, you know, there's where, as a coach, you can say, hey, the defense came back, they took care of us, and we didn't have to hit so many shots to try to come back and win that game.
So, big win for the Lady Ravens. The other games that went on around the conference last night, there were some interesting ones, there were some that weren't very good, and there was one 2-point game. How about that? You had Valley going to Evangel and winning by 13. You had Central Methodist going to Mid-America and winning by 11. Clark was at home with Penn, won by like 40 points. Mm. Incredible. I still haven't figured out Penn. You got Mount Mercy, a 20-point win at home over Graceland. So Graceland turns right around and falls flat to a Mount Mercy team. You have Culver at home. They beat Peru by, 15 points. But then you got Park, and Park is in trouble. Park has had to forfeit, like we've had other teams, Central Methodist this season, they had to forfeit. And so Grandview is going to be hosting Benedictine, coming off a week of rest.
Right. Yeah. And, you heard in the post game talking to Coach Moody that some guys are going to like it, some guys are not. And, again, it's that extra day of rest. You hope that maybe they get a little rusty and don't jump out the gates quickly. But, again, they're going to be well rested coming into that ball game and it being a home game. So a lot of things, roll in the favor of Grandview coming into that ball game. And it is, we talk about it, you're double round robin in your division, you're one game against everybody else in the other division. So this is the only time that you'll have to see Grandview in the regular season.
Yeah, and I'm going to pull up the old conference standings right now as you go to the North Division. We'll talk about them first. And Clark continues to just be incredible. 17-2 and 8-0 in the conference. They are right now running away with the thing. Grandview is 7-1 of the conference, 15-4. So the Lady Ravens are going to have their hands full at Grandview Saturday afternoon. They are very, very good. Then it falls off. Just really kind of falls off the edge of the mountain. Mount Mercy is 8-11. Culver's 9-8. Peru is 8-9. Penn is 2-17. And Graceland, 4-13 and 1-7. We don't even want to talk about that one.
So are you telling me that in the North Division, two teams will make the national tournament?
Absolutely. Okay. There's no question because Clark is going to end up with 25 wins.
Mm-hmm. And, again, Grandview, you position yourself right. 15 wins at the first part of January. You need...
They're at 22 now.
Right, but you need five more, right?
Yeah, they're going to get to 22.
Right, but again, you set yourself up with those early wins right now.
In the South Division, you've got Benedictine on top. How about those Lady Ravens?
The South Division is muddy, okay?
It's Benedictine is 6-3. Central Methodist is 5-3. And remember, two of those losses were forfeit games because of COVID. Evangelist 5-3. Mid-America is 4-3. Missouri Valley is 4-4. Then you got Baker at 2-6. Park at 1-6. But
so you
double digit wins. Benedictine and Central Methodist, 13-15 wins right now.
North Division, pretty nice little bell curve, right? You got the two at the top, two at the bottom, everybody else in the middle. This South Division is crazy.
It's flatline.
It will be like this, I think, all the way to the end, right? There's going to be some knockdowns. And the other thing, you talked about it last night. You saw a team in Park that had to forfeit games. I'm telling you, I know we've got a lot of season left. You're going to see a few more games that are forfeited throughout this season. That is going to be the real kicker this year, right? How many games, Central Methodist, right? They should have only lost one game to this point. If that. Right now, I don't know if they finally have gotten back to full speed. Did they? Okay. Because, last Saturday, I think they played with six or seven players. They were way down, and they were missing some of their, real athletes. Three of their starters, okay, in leading scorer types. But I feel like you're going to see a handful of games that are going to be forfeits down the stretch. So it'll be interesting to see what teams stay healthy on the court, off the court, and the end of this season.
You talked earlier, and I don't know, I don't want to put the cart before the horse, but we need to talk about postseason. And you say, you always talk about that 20-point magic number. And in the North, easily Clark and Grandview are going to be at 20. Now in the South, it is, it's realistic that there are going to be two teams in the South with 20 wins. Benedictine and Central Methodist could both, I think, with no problem, reach a 20-win season. So that brings me to a question. Will the national folks put four women's teams out of this conference in the national tournament if they reach 20? Or are we going to have a 20-win team who has to stay at home?
Well, I think they got four in last year, right? And I just don't see any way around that you're going to get four, unless somebody falls apart. I will tell you the one team that I think you got to keep an eye out for is Missouri Valley.
Maybe.
Right? They're at 10-7. They're 4-4 in the conference, but they're a team that is trending in the correct direction right now. And, you know, they've got a coach that's been to a national title game. So I think that, you know, they've got a lot of things. So I think the second half of the season is going to be really interesting, probably more so for the South than the North.
Well, I tell you what, we've got hoops to talk about. We're going to talk about the guys' game and the Ravens last night and how things are shaping up for them in the conference. We'll be back. Sports Look, continuing on a Thursday night right after this. Welcome back to Sports Look here on K-Radio as we shift gears and we are going to talk about men's basketball around the Heart of America Athletic Conference. And Gus, we talked about last night's game with the Benedictine men, and it was a tough one. Ravens guys playing against a Baker team that was at home, a Baker team that was hot. They honored one of their players prior to the game, Jalen Patterson, reaching the 1,000-point plateau in his college career, and he decides, I'm going to show you how I did that. He goes out and scores 26 more last night, and it goes to overtime. I mean, that's just how closely played this game was, and Baker's able to sneak it out 62-60.
Yeah, Baker, one of those teams that, you know, has pretty good guard play. They've got nice presence in the middle with Buffalo Meat in there, and I mean, they're a good inside-outside team. They're kind of tough to match up with and really good at home, right? All those things added up. The Ravens just had some shots last night that wouldn't fall. You listen to Coach Moody talk in the post game that, you know, you don't have a whole lot of time to really stop and think about that one because in 2 days you're going to be back on the road and going up against a team that, you know, we talked about a little bit in the last segment that's going to be pretty well-rested in Grandview. And so for Benedictine, again, you played well. Just the shots weren't falling, and Ahmad Lewis was able to come off the bench and provide some good minutes and hit, what, three big threes down the stretch, and that made a big difference in that ballgame. But, again, this is going to be, you know, a scratch-and-claw type division as well.
Yeah, Ravens looking for a way to find points in the paint, basically. I mean, Tyson Cathy last night, he hit 3 of 4, but number one, 4 shots from your 5. Number two, no other 5 with any points. Eric Cruz just getting back, you know, after the holiday. He was 0 for 4. Jaden Timmy, a little limited time yet. He was 0 for 1. You had Matt Austin, who scores 33 points, turns around and goes 2 for 10. Nysir had a nice game, at hitting 4 of 11. Saxton, 5 of 11. And Jaden Bristol, 5 of 12. So we had three guys, Benedictine did, in double-digit scoring at 14, 13, 10 for Bristol, Thuston, Cathy. And but the Ravens, you know, in this league and in college basketball, I know they love their defense, but probably going to have more than 60 to win.
Yeah. And
so if you gave up 62 in overtime, you got to look at that defense and say, you know, we did all right.
Yeah. And, you know, you talk about this guys' team, and basketball, again, it's one of those sports that we laugh about because you have a guy like Matt Austin. He went off on Saturday, hits all those shots, and then, you know, 4 nights later, struggling to find the ball to go through the rim. I mean, but that's how basketball is, because 2 nights later, that same shooter is going to go out and hit 8 of 10, and the coach laughs and says, man, if I could have got one of those the other night to fall for me, or, you know, a tip here or there. Again, Baker's a good team. Sean Dooley's a good coach, been there for, what, 10 years now? I mean, that's going to be tough. And so, again, you're going to have to scratch and claw. I know Coach Moody likes to say that, you know, this team's going to have to just grind out these games here in the second half of the season.
I think that's kind of how it's going to shape up for Benedictine. So,
how about these games last night conference? I mean, there were, what, 4 games
that's decided where we're going
by
next,
just
man, because
a possession or two is all? I mean, there were some great games around the Heart of America Athletic Conference.
Yeah, we need to take a quick look at those as I roll up here to January the 12th. And last night you had Mount Mercy at home. They win over Graceland. Graceland's struggling. They win by a dozen. Again, you got the Park boys and girls, by the way, both forfeiting games. With Central Methodist, it was just the girls, but for Park, it's everybody in trouble. Evangel is at home. They rolled up the triple up here, the triple-digit scoring, checked all the bulbs in the scoreboard, 108-89. I know that's your kind of basketball.
I'm telling you.
William Penn and Clark, They're up in Dubuque, okay? This thing battled back and forth, and this is how good Penn is. Even on the road, they give up 88 points and win by one, 89-88. There's some teams that are just hard to beat no matter what.
Yeah, and I'm going to tell you, Clark probably goes home a little sick after that game, right?
Oh,
like you walk away.
Well,
from
they
the
were
gym.
At home.
Well, I mean, that's what I'm saying. You walk home at that point, and you just say, the whole walk home, you're going, I had them, right?
Had
them dead to rights, and then all of a sudden they sneak out with a one-point win, and John Henry probably didn't get up all night, right?
I knew that was going to happen.
Didn't break a sweat, didn't smile, just, yeah, okay, let's keep going.
Central Methodist traveled to Olathe, Mid-America, in a game very similar to Benedictine in score, wins 64-61, and you've got Culver Stockton. There's a team we're going to talk about. Culver Stockton's got something going on. They beat Peru 72-69, and so those were the games going on last night around the conference.
Games going on Saturday in the conference. The early games will be Culver Stockton at Evangel, Baker at Penn, Clark at Valley. A little surprised Benedictine Grandview isn't an early game, just, you know. Then the later games we'll see Central Methodist at Mount Mercy, Park Peru, tentatively, Benedictine at Grandview, and Mid-America making the trip up to Graceland Saturday afternoon.
We were talking about Culver Stockton. We're going to look at these standings, but Culver Stockton has the current Conference Player of the Week in Jalen Blaze, okay? Jalen's pretty decent. Averages 22 points a game. He hits 60% from 3-point. Okay, that's pretty good shooting. I just want you to know. He's an 89% free throw shooter. And in order to kind of just solidify that Conference Player of the Week, how about this? He broke a 48-year-old school scoring record. 46 points. And their win over Graceland. Now, I understand it was against Graceland, but that was a 94-87 game. Graceland will go up and down with you if you want to do that. And obviously, Culver Stockton wants to do that. So we're going to be hearing and talking a bit about Jalen Blaze.
Okay.
Outstanding effort.
By talking about Jalen Blaze, you just, like, hit a light bulb for me.
Oh, no.
And
I wasn't even trying.
I'm not even going to let you research it. We're going to just see if off the top, do you know?
No.
What the single game record is for points for BC?
Oh, is it 44?
Is it? I don't know. And so that's why, they used to do media guides back in like the late 90s, early 2000s, and I feel like, you could probably rummage one up, but I don't know. Didn't know if you had an idea.
I remember clearly 42, and I think there's a 44 in there.
Can you even guess who it was?
Pat.
Really? Okay, there you go. Just tossing that out there. Looking at the standings in the North Division, no surprise, William Penn, 7-1, 15-1, they're out top. You've got Mount Mercy at 5-3, Grandview at 5-3, Clark is 4-4, Culver Stockton 3-5, Peru 3-5, and Graceland still looking for its first win in the conference. Then in the South Division, flying up and down. Okay, Evangel is 6-2, Central Methodist and Benedictine at 5-3, Mid America half game back at that 4-3, 3-4 is Baker, Missouri Valley now at 2-5, and Park at 2-5. So you start looking at the wins right now in the conference and. In the North Division, you've got Penn with 15 wins. You've got Mercy with 12. You've got 12 for Culver Stockton. And Culver Stockton, very respectable 12-5 record right now. Evangel, 13-4. Central Methodist, 14-5. Benedictine at 11-6. Then you go down all the way to Missouri Valley, who's 2-5 in the conference, but they are 10-7 overall. So, again, they did well until they got into conference play. 8-2 going into conference play, then you find yourself 2-5 in conference play.
All right, I'm on the verge of coming up with this thing. I'm looking. Here we go. And I was wrong. It was not 44. It was 46 by Pat Keller.
Okay.
And then it was 42 by
Hup.
The Pride of Point Pleasant Beach, New Jersey. Kirby Foray. And,
but Kirby did it with threes, right?
No, 3-point shot.
Okay.
It was before, they were all from 20 feet away, but there was no 3-point shot. If he'd had a 3-point shot ring, you know, if they were shooting threes at the time he scored, he'd have had 60. Yeah. Honest to gosh. I mean, everything Kirby put up was from way, way, way outside.
So was Kirby a guy who, you know, if you had the 3-point line, finds himself way up in the total points?
Oh, absolutely. You know, then you
think about how much of a difference that 3-pointer makes, because I always laugh with Chick and Daryl being way up there, and all those are twos. You know, and Pat, you know, all those are twos. Now, don't get me wrong, Pat probably chucked a three here or there. Was he a good free throw shooter?
Giller?
Yeah.
He didn't. Was he a good rebounder?
There you go. But, you know, I mean, you kind of laugh at some
absolutely.
Of that stuff.
Absolutely. Absolutely, he could shoot. By the way, it was Pat Keller scored those 46 points. It was at Pittsburgh State back in the olden days when we played teams like that. And then he scored 41 against Peru. And you're thinking of the Drew Heppe game, the game that I referred to last night. That was at Baker, and Drew had 40 that night.
I felt like Gettleman had a game where he didn't get to 40, but he had like kind of a fiery game where he got
close.
Like 30s, you know, upper 30s.
Benedict can have six guys who have scored 40, even an exact 40 in the game. You got Giller, Huppy, Giller again, Kirby Foray again, Chick, Daryl, and Pat Hare.
Okay, there you go.
So there you go. Just a little bit of stuff from back in the day.
Well, so you're telling me back-to-back sport looks we've talked about. Dominique last week.
Oh, yeah.
And now we're pulling out, you know, the Wayback Machine this week. So.
Yeah. And by the way,
Don't tell Giller I called it the Wayback Machine for him, okay?
Single-season scoring average. Who led this team in average for, you know, and what was the scoring average for the year?
What? Team total points?
No.
Oh.
Player single-season scoring average.
Oh, how I'm many, sure it's Pat, right?
Pat was number two and number three.
Okay, so then it's got to be Chick?
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, there you go.
Chick, 25 and a half points a game. That's a pretty good season.
That's a lot of points a game.
That's a pretty good season. And in the same year, he averaged 13.4 rebounds a game, third ever in single season for that. So anyway, there you have it. Hey, we need to take a little bit of a break. We're coming back. We've got so much more to cover here on Sports on Care. Back with you here on Sports Look on Care Radio. Gus, we shift gears, and we would be remiss if we didn't talk about the NFL. The season's over. 742 games, and number 742 may have been the most fun of any game in the entire season. What a shootout. What an ending. And I think probably much of the sport-watching nation would agree with me, and they usually don't. They wanted that game to end in a tie in the worst way.
Oh, it was so bad. It was so much fun, right? Like, I mean, I didn't have a dog in the fight. You just sat there, you watched it, you enjoyed it. I couldn't imagine being in Pittsburgh. I couldn't imagine being in Los Angeles. I couldn't imagine being in Las Vegas. Because, I mean, those fan bases had to just be up and down blood pressure the entire night. Can I tell you, though, I fully believe that that game was going to end in a tie. Because on the third down, if he doesn't call the timeout, I think the Raiders were kind of in that gray area.
Why did he call that timeout?
And he said after the game, he called the timeout because he expected Las Vegas to run, and he didn't feel like he had the correct run defense in there. I'm like, take your chances at that point, because here's the deal. There was no way they were going to punt that ball,
never.
Okay?
Never.
So they were just in that gray area of you're going to have to punt, you're too far for a field goal. Then you call the timeout, they get a good play, they pick up, 10 or 12 yards or whatever they needed, kick the field goal and win the game. Can I tell you, though, when that thing came off the foot, I'm like, this thing's got to bang off an upright or something, right? Like, it
anyway,
just felt like
saying,
it was
on,
destined
slide,
for it,
slide,
right?
Hit that. But they didn't, and so the game ended, and now we have if you are Roger Goodell in the NFL, you got to be so happy with how this is all shaken out. I mean, so it's perfect.
Well, a week ago we were talking about, you know, Chargers, Colts. You didn't like the matchup with either of those teams. Chargers and the Colts didn't even make the playoffs, right? Like, this was so much fun here at the end, and the NFL, of course, figures out a way to do it right. You add two more teams, and you end up with a Monday night game, two on Saturday, three on Sunday. Like, the NFL understands what they're doing, right? Like, they're the greatest when it comes to it.
And it's not just that 2-3-1 setup, but it's also the pairings turned out spectacular. I mean, first you got Vegas and Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Okay? That's going to be an interesting ballgame because, you know, you got two teams scrambling to get a little respect. Okay? They're the danger fields of the NFL playoffs right now, aren't they?
Can I tell you? Not going to be shocked if Vegas wins that game.
Oh, I expect it.
Because Vegas has such a good pass rush, and I'm going to tell you, I'm not sold that Joe Burrow is healthy. They pulled him in that Chiefs game after he kind of came up funny on his knee, and they brought in a backup quarterback, and they said, well, all we were going to do was kind of get in position to kneel it and get the field goal at the end, right? Then last week they held him out in a game that had some implications, right? Like, they could have moved a spot in that game against the Browns. Don't play him. I'm interested to see why not. I wouldn't be shocked if Vegas wins and, you know, under a interim head coach.
But Browns fan is off the hook to be hosting this game, to be in the postseason.
Oh, for the Bengals, like, they were joking.
Christmas again.
The other day I saw something that said nobody has ever texted the Bengals won a playoff game. Like, it has been that long that the long. Bengals have won a playoff game. So,
and
again,
of all the six games coming up, the highest, I mean, and kind of follow me, the highest priced, cheapest ticket for any game, the highest price one is Cincinnati, because those Brown fans want that chair for this. They want to see this.
You know, I feel like Saturday's a better schedule, right? Saturday's interesting. Monday's somewhat interesting. Sunday, you could probably flip a coin and just not really care that
maybe
much.
Now, let's wrap up Saturday quickly. The night game, there's one that people are going to really enjoy. I think this may be one of the best games in New England. Buffalo, oh my.
So, kickoff time, they're thinking about 3 degrees is going to be, you know, the kickoff temperature. It's going to continue to drop.
Yep.
Last week, it was super cold up there in Buffalo. Josh Allen threw 4 interceptions and has struggled in the cold, cold weather. Bill Belichick is going to have just some wacky things, I am sure. He's going to try to confuse everybody because, again, sometimes coaches overthink everything, and Belichick can be that guy. Again, you could have a 5 and a 6 come out of Saturday in the AFC.
Yeah. Then you go into Sunday. You got a noon game, Philadelphia at Tampa.
Who cares?
That may be that game is not going to be particularly good.
I think the 2-7-2 games will be bad, right? I think that game and then the night game with the Chiefs.
The midday game, the 3:30 game. People are going to watch this, and I think that Jerry better help the guys lace him up tight, because Dak and company could get upset here by a hard-hitting San Francisco team.
Yeah, and a whole lot of people want a piece of that game, right? Did you see, like, all the networks that are carrying that? Nickelodeon, Amazon, you're going to have Paramount Plus is carrying it, and then it will be, what, the CBS game. So, I mean, there's every network wants a piece of that. I will turn on Nickelodeon just because
they're fun.
It's so much fun to watch the game
on
there.
Come on, love the Nickelodeon broadcast.
But 49ers, Cowboys, I don't know. I mean, the Cowboys have played okay this season, but nobody's going to be shocked if the Cowboys somehow find a way Monday that you're saying, well, it's back to the drawing board.
And quickly, back to the whole Nickelodeon thing. At the bottom of the screen, through the course of the year, a lot of times they'll put up a player's picture and it looks like a DC comic drawing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, are you down with that?
I
like
do.
That?
I think it's kind
of
cool.
Okay. The night game, of course, is the one that we'll be talking about, Sunday night game. It is a 7:15 anticipated kickoff in Kansas City is the Chiefs hosting Pittsburgh. The thing that worries me is everybody in the nation, and I've been listening to more radio this week because I've just been traveling to games a lot and I've had a chance to tune things in, and everybody is just expecting a blowout. They're saying it's Big Ben's last game. They say it's the worst matchup in the NFL postseason. They're saying all this. talk like that makes me a little bit nervous.
Yeah, it should make you nervous. I mean, again, I feel like there's a lot of, you know, people overlooking this game. And I think a lot of that comes from they just played 2 weeks ago, right, or 3 weeks ago. It was the day after Christmas. It was, you know, an ugly game. Kansas City had no problems with it. Big Ben, here's the problem. When Kansas City played Pittsburgh 2 weeks ago, Big Ben averaged 2.5 yards per pass attempt. Not pass completed, pass attempt. Like, that's hard to do, okay? Like, he didn't air it out once. I just think that Ben doesn't have the arm that he used to, and if the Steelers want to be a part of this game, they're going to have to throw it a little bit and try to stretch the field a little bit against this Kansas City defense. But
they're going to talk about the defense. They're going to have to, if four, okay, for Pittsburgh to have any shot, they got to score four touchdowns. They got to have 27-28 or more. They can't score that many points.
Well, what was it? Is it 20 or 30? Was it 30 that Patrick Mahomes is like, I'm going to get this wrong. Was he 47-3 when they're able to score 30 or more?
Is that right?
It's ridiculous. Like, Kansas City just doesn't lose when they score that many points. And it's going to be tough for this, you know, Pittsburgh defense to hold Kansas City down that far. The only thing that scares me about this game is T.J. Watt coming after Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah. He's a guy that everybody wants on their team. Oh, but yeah. I'll tell you what, I'll take the Melvin Ingrams all day long.
Melvin comes up with a big play last week, and so, yeah, I mean.
And then the MU, but you don't, MU guy, or is it
you bad? Don't think that Melvin Ingram's not going to have a little bit of a chip on his shoulder coming up against Pittsburgh, who basically said, yeah, you have him for a sixth-round pick because he didn't want to be here. Like, it's a good matchup for Kansas City. I like it.
The Monday night game, which, by the way, we'll have high school hoops here on K Radio. I won't be watching it, but Arizona at Los Angeles. Arizona's in the playoffs for one reason. That's because they got the fast start. They fell on their face late in the season, it felt like to me. And so they're there just because they got some wins early in the year, and they're going to get blown out of SoFi Stadium.
Yeah, I think without DeAndre Hopkins, they're going to really struggle in that ball game. And the Rams are a team who's kind of limping into the playoffs themselves. I think if you would have told ESPN that this was going to be the Monday night game, they would have said, oh, man, that's fantastic. But you got two teams that are just kind of like making their way across the marathon finish line and dragging each other there. I don't think this game's going to really be that entertaining.
Well, anyhow, we'll be looking forward to seeing how that all goes. Dallas is also now and they always have an alternate. Okay, this is not something new. People are talking about it like, whoa, what's going on here? They're picking an alternate site. Well, they always have contingency plans. You talked about how smart the NFL is. You don't think they're going to just sit around and put all their eggs in one basket, and if something should go south, that they don't have somewhere to go. They do this every year.
Any chance they end up at the alternate site?
None.
I think they do.
Really?
I don't know why. I just feel like this thing's going to be played in Dallas in 4 weeks.
Wow.
I mean, I have no reason to think that, but I feel like they always have an alternate site, but yeah, never talk about it.
No.
And this year they came out with, here's where it is and here's what it is. I just feel like this is going to be your chance to say, hey, you know, especially with where we're at, you know, numbers-wise and things like that.
The people of Arlington made a great investment in AT&T Stadium because that thing gets used about 8 nights a week.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
there is a ball game there about on the top of the hour every hour.
Yep.
It's incredible how that facility gets used.
They sure knew what they were doing.
You betcha. By the way, you know what they're doing? About them dogs.
Yeah, how about Georgia winning a national title? And can you believe that? It was like the first time in 40 or 41 years, something like that. So you always feel like Georgia's good. I didn't realize it had been that long of a drought in between national title wins. You feel good for Kirby Smart and that program. It's always fun to see somebody else win, too.
Yeah, so there you have it, Georgia, your national champions. And here on Care Radio, we've got high-quality sports coming your way, and it all begins tomorrow night. We're going to have ACCHS at Pleasant Ridge High School basketball. Girls game first, and the guys Saturday afternoon, Benedictine in Des Moines with Grandview at 2-4. And off to the races we go with tournament basketball all next week. Hawata Wealth Management, Taco John's, Gerber Electric and Exchange Bank, your Sportsbook sponsors. We want to thank them. And until we greet you next time, for Gus Kautz, Tom Kautz saying so long, everybody.